Good morning.
We have 4 weeks
before the Easter arrives, and we remember when Jesus spent a few years with his disciples, and up to Matthew chapter 24 is actually at the very end of his journey, because they reach Jerusalem and they talk about the building of the temple, and they talk about the coming of Jesus Christ. They talk about the end of the earth. So those are very important topics they were talking about. So this morning I would like to all of us to turn to Matthew chapter 24. We are going to read a few verses together, and may God help us to understand and to prepare ourselves for this important message recorded in this paragraph. Matthew chapter 24 starts from verse 3 to verse 14. So if we can read together, because we may have a different version, so maybe we can just read on the screen here. Let's read together. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Then the end will come. This morning I would like to just share with you, because we remember January the 12th, when the real just terrible earthquake hit which country? Haiti. And then very quickly last month, another earthquake hit where? Chile. And then sometime this month, another earthquake hit where? Taiwan. You just look at those news talking about what happened in this world. Let's bring me to this passage saying that I would like to share with you, because it's not something like on the news only, but it's something recorded in the Word of God. And God used those signs to remind us that He is coming back very soon. That He is coming back very soon. Recently in my devotion, I read through 1 Kings, 2 Kings. I read through a lot of names, a lot of records about different people, different so-called important people. They are kings. They were kings of Judah or Israel. And quite often, they got maybe not more than 10 lines in the Bible mentioned about them. And all the time when I do my devotion, I ask God, why do you record those names? What lesson do you want me to learn? What message as Christian we need to really understand? You see, what is important in God's eyes is so different from what we think what is important. A few people, just a few sentences about those kings, just saying that he did the right thing, in God's eye. And that's it.
What's important?
Brothers and sisters, so many times we focus on ourselves, we think about what do I need, what do I want. But how often do we ask what God wants of me? That's really, you know, a challenging point of view for me to think about why we are in this, on this earth. Why do we, you know, spend our life 40 years, 50 years, or even 80, 90 years in this, on this earth? What is the purpose? The purpose for me to survive, or the purpose that God wants us to glorify Him? It's something that we need to think about. So when the disciple came to Jesus and they asked, you know, they asked Jesus, tell us. The disciples want to know. They want to know, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming of the end of the age? How the disciple asked this question? Of course, we know Jesus talked about different things, and the disciple realized that maybe something is happening soon. Maybe Jesus is leaving us, and then probably he will be coming back sometime, or a lot of things happening that made disciples start wondering, and they want to ask a question. And we want to praise the Lord, because Jesus Christ's answer from verse 4 is very clear. Jesus said, watch out that no one deceives you. So from verse 4 to verse 5, talking about, you know, religious thing like belief, because someone say I'm the Christ and will deceive many. That means a lot of people, they don't understand the word of God, or maybe they are antichrist. You just say something to confuse Christians' faith. So this is one area. And the second area is verse 6. From verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Okay, we are not, you know, stranger of war. I mean, you hear about the wars in this world. A lot of places, they have wars. Some are civil wars that's happening within their own country. Some are international, like countries and countries. Those are not new to us. We all know that. And sometimes when I watch you know, the television here, the movies from Hollywood here, they scared me. Because I'm from a background that with a composure with, I mean, as opposed to Islam world. You know, from their perspective, when I look at the movie, I was scared. Because I found out whatever the Taliban did, Al-Qaeda did, they are just a second class violence. The Hollywood one was the first class. There's real violence there. They scare me, because, you know, a lot of people, they promote something, they don't really know what is that. What message are we sending to this world? We just want to kill and, you know, destroy the enemy. I mean, when the Al-Qaeda people, the Muslim, the radical people, when they look at those movies, they feel like we need to work harder because we are so far behind. Do you understand me? That kind of feeling. This is the world. Okay, so when we talk about war, the civil war, or, you know, nations against nations, that's verse 7. And then verse 7, the second part, there will be famine and earthquakes in various places. Famine, earthquakes in various places. And Jesus said, all those are the beginning of the world pain. All those are the beginning. And then we continue verse 9 to verse 12, talking about persecution. Those are really something that's strange to us, foreign to us, because we have seldom have persecution. Of course, we can mention a few, but compared with the world, what happened in this world, we don't know about persecution. We don't understand. We don't feel that way. And then finally Jesus said, what is the sign of his coming back? What is the sign of the end of the earth? Verse 14 talk about, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Of course, some theologians, they don't agree with, you know, when we have all these things and preach the gospel to the end of the world, then Jesus will come back. But I think here the Bible, the verse says so clearly, saying that this is one of the signs. When we preach the gospel to the end of the earth, when everybody has the chance to listen, to understand who Jesus is, what the good news is, then the end is near. It's very near. So let's just take a very brief time to look at a few slides. The slide is nothing new, but the slide, I pray, that will kind of help us to get a little bit more feeling about what is going on. This is the earthquake. Alright, thank you. What I want to say is, are we deceived? How strong is our faith? Of course, the Bible says when someone says, I'm the Christ, it's kind of easier for us to say, well, those probably is wrong, because how can you say you are Christ? But it happens. When someone says, I'm Christ, probably it's easier for us to say, okay, you cannot cheat me, you cannot deceive me, because you are not. So clear. But what about when people start telling you, saying that without baptized in my church, you are not going to be saved? When I was in Malaysia pastoring a church, I have one brother, he is not with us, I mean he is not in our church, he is with another church. He is strong. One day when he passed by in the downtown street, he was basically kidnapped. You know, carry him, I'm not sure how many people carry him, and put him into the water, and saying that I baptize you in the name of Jesus, and then announcing that he is saved now. He was so furious when he came to me with whole weight, you know, just, you know, saying that what happened to those people. And then we have another family, another girl, maybe 16 or 17 years old. She was not, I mean, not immediate neighbor, but, you know, just two blocks away. She was put into the water also. She was so confused. And the whole family went to church, and she refused. She said, I don't know what happened to me. Why this Christian did that to me? It's confusing. That is happening in Southeast Asia, I'm not sure, called cult or whatever. You know, they call themselves New Testament Church. That happened in Southeast Asia. And then, when I was in China, and they are talking about a group, and there's this group of people, when you go to their church, when you start praying, if you don't pray with tears, you are not saved. Okay, confusing? A lot of Christians, when they start praying, they start crying. No one can stop them, because no one believes that they need to. They need to cry. So when they asked me to pray, I was scared, because I'm not sure if my tear would come up or not. It's so confusing, deceiving. When people start talking about what is true salvation, that really scared me. You know, when one of the very, very leaders in mainland China start preaching about, don't talk about Jesus and his cross and his, you know, resurrection. We talk about Jesus' love. And because of his love, that's enough. So confusing, because then people ask, is Jesus right on the cross? He said, that's not very important, because what is important is Jesus really loves us and he can do anything for us. Is it confusing? Deceiving, a lot of things. We have a lot of Christians in this world. They don't have access to Bible school or good teaching from the Bible. They were so confused, they don't know what happened, what to do. And just last week, I read an article that's from this happened in America. You know, one man, one Christian, he was cast out from the church. Basically because their belief is they cannot own any car or any electrical thing, you know, kind of thing. But because of his work, he needs to travel far distance, so he cannot go on foot or, you know, ride a horse. So he got a permission from the church saying, can I ride a car? So the leaders vote and say that you can only ride certain kind of car that is old, you know, not fashion. And then one time, because his wife is getting birth, so he tried to come back from work and he couldn't wait for that car came. So he decided to hop on another car to come back home. And happened that that car is pretty new and, you know, good car. And when he arrived home, the church leaders saw it and they called a meeting and saying that unless you repent and never take it, you know, kind of car again, otherwise we'll cut you out. He was so frustrated, he said, what's wrong with this car? And the other car got four wheels, this car got four wheels. And so he started arguing with the church, and ended up he was cut off. The interview was interviewing his wife, because they asked his wife to discommunicate with her husband because of her husband's sin. And she refused. So she was cut off again. So I read that kind of article. I said, what's happening? When we talk about our faith, where is our faith? What do we believe? What do we think is essential or not? So this is just saying the disease. Brothers and sisters, this is very, you know, it's a terrible thing. And when we talk about wars, a lot of wars happening. A lot of wars happening. South Asia, Middle East, a lot of third world countries, a lot of wars happening. Do you know that Niger, the country, the president was recently, you know, forced to step down of a coup d'etat, it's a coup. The president, Danja, and us, we have some good relationship. Why? Because we were never before. Year 91, we were never. And year 91, we were famous. 92, we were famous because of him. Because what? He had the Land Rover. And he was one of the candidates to be president of Niger. So he did his, campaign. And his Land Rover and my Land Rover, we were the only two Land Rover in that region. And a lot of people confuse us. So whenever we drove our Land Rover through the desert road, the villagers will come out and say, Nasara Baba, Nasara Baba. Nasara is the name of the party. Baba means father. And they say, you know, that's the, so they campaign for me. I say, sorry, not me. You know, the other one. And after several years, he became president. And once he became president, he refused to step down. And the people have to pull him down. Not much war, but a lot of things happening. This world is so unsafe and so, you know, unhealthy. And natural disaster, famines. Friday night, the youth, they have a video movie going on compared with American young people and those, other parts of the world, the young people. Americans feel like, my bed is not good enough, my parents' car is not good enough. Now compared with the other world, those young people, they may never have the chance to think about those issues. They basically struggle with Do I have enough to eat? Do I have enough clothing? No, basic thing. We don't understand. Famines is happening everywhere. And earthquake. Do you know that in the past 30 days, I just look at each day, I look at Google, each day, we have one day with only two earthquakes. And then I found the other day with 57 earthquakes. In the past 7 days, according to Google's, we have 327 earthquakes. When I look at the 30 days earthquake on this earth, basically surrounding the Pacific Ocean, you know, down from Chile up to California, Alaska, Japan, and then, you know, Taiwan and the Philippines and Indonesia, and go around. It happens so many times, and most of the time it's in the sea. And the smallest was 2.1. And above 5, there are so many. Brothers and sisters, what's happening? Jesus said, when you look at the aim of the age, you know, just look at disease, look at war, look at famine, look at earthquake. We need to be reminded this, you know, this is a sign. The sign. That Jesus is coming back very soon. So we need to readjust our focus. Why are we living? Why are we in this earth? What are we going to do? What God wants us to do? So preach the gospel to the end of the earth. This is what Jesus said. Preach the gospel. Stand firm. Stand firm. And then, basically I leave some, just a simple analyze about, you know, people in this world. We have five groups of people. The first group is non-believer. They don't know about Jesus. They need Jesus. So if we are Christian, we are at the end of the age, and then Jesus tells us we need to stand firm, then we need to do something for Him, to live for our Lord Jesus. So what about those non-believers? I'm so glad that our youth, they are inviting friends to come. I'm so glad that we have so many, you know, you have the desire to be trained to reach out to the lost. A lot of people, they need Jesus. We need to reach out to them. And then we do have believers. They may be young believers, young in a way not necessarily just accept the Lord. Young in a way that some that already been Christian for many years and still need to be fed. Yeah. We need to help them. And if among us we have believers and we felt like we need to be fed all the time, we need to come before the Lord and pray saying, God help me so that I can grow. So that I can grow. Grow to what? Grow so that we can self-feeding. We can feed ourselves. What do we mean by we can feed ourselves? That means you don't need people to push, to remind you, to read the Bible, to pray, you know, to talk to God. Feed yourself with the Word of God. It's very important. We need to stand firm because otherwise, at the end of the age, those we don't have good foundation, we don't stand firm, we may not, you know, have a victorious life. We may not see our Lord Jesus Christ as we wish. So, if you are believers and you need to be fed, pray that God will help you and us, you know, to learn, to grow, how to feed ourselves. That's very important. So if you can feed yourself, don't stop. Because we need to be, you know, someone that can feed other people, help other people. So if we can help other people, then in my sermon outline saying that believer 3, we need to learn how to grow so that we can feed other people. In this congregation, we have a lot of brothers and sisters. You are feeding other people because we need more English-speaking Christians to help in worship, to help in the Sunday school, to help in a lot of areas. But brothers and sisters, if we don't really learn how to feed ourselves, then because pastor or so, someone else saying that, can you help teaching Sunday school? And you try to learn how to feed other people, then you are into, you know, trouble, difficulties. You'll be burned out very soon. Very soon. And then, if we can stand firm, if we are able to feed other people, then we need to learn how to reach out to the end of the world, to all the nations. That's why we are here. We want to learn. We want to grow. We want to see our Lord Jesus the day that he comes, and then we can stand before him. You know, just welcome him. And he will say, well done to you and me. This is so important. So we need to stand firm and prepare for the end of the earth. Jesus is coming soon. Are we ready? Let's pray. Father God, we want to just come before you and ask you to speak to us. Lord, where are we now? Are we still a baby believers that need to be fed all the time? Lord, help us to have the desire to grow and to grow and learn how to feed ourselves. Learn how to read your word and understand your desire, your heart from the Bible, from what we read from the Bible. Learn how to pray, not just for ourselves, but for a lot of needy places, people. Help us to grow, not only satisfied with we can feed ourselves, but also have the desire to grow so that we can feed other people, to see the needs around us, to grow in a way that we can be, you know, encouragement to many others. We can be, you know, a spiritual work partner with many others. So pray the Lord you use us. And Lord, open our eyes so that we can see the need of all nations. So that we are not only satisfied with serving locally, but we want to serve you no matter where you want us to go. So Lord, put all nations in our hearts, in our prayer. We want to thank you. And may you speak to us, so all of us will be prepared to welcome you back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.